The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
What's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body? You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. Michael Roizen's here. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Listen to us anytime you want on Radio MD along our line of terrific affiliated radio stations. And we're now on iHeartRadio Talk. You can rate at Radio MD or You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. It's a news and update section you can customize for exactly the type of information that interests you. Go to iHeartRadio.com. Download the app. When you go to the web, click Talk in the main menu and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Good show today. I think we have a lot of information, a lot of great ground to cover today, Dr. Mike.
Absolutely. We have. It's a superb set of shows and a superb set of ideas to cover today, Joe. So when we have our guest, who is the chief of GI Oncology at Johns Hopkins, who's going to be talking to us about esophageal cancer, why it's increased 400%, and what you can do to prevent it or to decrease its chance of getting you in trouble, and then some symptoms that you might have that you want to get treated right away.
There's more to heartburn than heartburn, right?
Well, that's right. That's one of the keys on this is that heartburn signifies a change in what's occurring in the esophagus, your esophagus, and can set up a chain of events that leads to esophageal cancer or cancer of your esophagus. And that's a very bad cancer, and we can go into why it's a bad cancer in a few minutes, but it's a bad cancer, and so you want to suppress GERD, and that can be done with antacids or with pills that decrease acidity, also with the way you lie in bed. So just lying with your head up and not having food and losing weight if you're obese are ways to get rid of that problem.
Dr. Ronan Kelly, our topic will be esophageal cancer at 35 minutes after the hour in this hour. To reach Dr. Mike for a question or comment, maybe a question for our guest coming up at 35 after the hour, the email address is udocs@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com. We have typically every week some terrific medical stories with a lot of information and great information. And let's roll through some of these as we head toward our guest at 34 past the hour. We've talked in the past about the FDA and nutrition facts labels, and the headline on the story is there's no appetite for changes to the FDA's nutrition facts label. What are the details on that story?
Well, the details are that the person who originated the nutrition facts label is a very interesting gentleman who said who designs labels and designs brands, and he came back during the comment period. I thought this was going to be an article when I read the headline of individuals and companies complaining, which they are doing because they have to change their label, and some of them are complaining because they have to change it in a way that helps people to get healthier, and maybe they don't want to facilitate that because it's going to cost them some sales. But in any case, what this was the designer of the original label saying, hey, we can even do much better than this label by designing it much simpler. And I don't know how much he, and I think it's a he from the name, I don't know how much he feels loyalty to the way the label was, and that's why he's objecting, or whether it really is that he thinks the label should be changed a great deal. But it is, what he said is, don't put the daily values on the left side with a up and down line between them. Put them, justify right, put them on the right side. You can keep the same things in, the added sugars and the saturated versus trans fat and the vitamin D, you can make the same changes, but make it much easier to read. And so he came out and said, this is a better label. When I actually look at the label, I think both of them, both his suggestions and the one the FDA submitted through the White House, are both much better improvements because they have accurate food labels on it. Bridget, do you have any comments about the food label?
I do. So this it's a really interesting article because he makes a lot of great points about how the label, in order for people to understand it and know and use it effectively, needs to be extremely simple and basic. Actually, when I was in Washington, D.C., right around the time that the label was proposed by the FDA, I sat in on a panel discussion that he was talking about how simplicity is what makes the label work. I think that that actually might have been a direct quote from what he said in his presentation. And he showed a picture of a wedding with a nutrition fact. It was the design of the wedding dress just had nutrition facts labels all over the whole wedding dress, and he was like, this is how delicate the nutrition facts label is because it affects every single American. It's the one design that every single American sees every single day of their life, no matter what grocery store they're in. And in order for us to help people have a healthier diet and a healthier way of living, we have to make sure that they can read it and understand it.
So, Joe, I think the in fact, part of his thing is valid, and the other part is that I think he's just protecting his own label design. I actually like the new one quite a bit.
So we all don't have to spend 4 hours grocery shopping when we'd probably rather be in the grocery store for an hour. What are the essential, again, we should review this every time we talk about nutrition labels. What are the essential things you should look for in a label when you buy something, before you buy something?
Well, we can't find it in the current label, which is why he's got a suggestion of how to change it. I mean, his not suggestion, meaning the FDA does. What you want to look for is added sugars. You can't find it. It only lists sugars together. So you want added sugars. You want it to be 100% whole grain. And you want it to have no saturated fat or as little saturated fat as possible and no trans fat. And then you want the serving size to be realistic for what you would eat. And the problem is the serving sizes on many packages are 1/4 or 1/3 of what we currently eat. So, for example, a pint of ice cream, which you might say is 2 servings, Joe, for if you're a typical ice cream eater. I hope you aren't an ice cream eater, but if you are an ice cream eater, you might get 2 servings out of it. Well, most of the labels are for 8 servings for a pint. No one eats eight. No one gets 8 servings out of a pint. That's like eating a one round ball of ice cream. No one just eats one ball anymore.
Are there some things on a label that are unnecessary? Do they put things on there that don't need to be put on there?
Yeah, some of the current things. So in the current label, they have vitamin A and vitamin C, which we really don't need on labels at all. So those are going off. Those are going off in both his and the FDA's design. And obviously some of the food companies are fighting any change in this. So why I said we need help is you can go to the FDA website and make a comment on how much you want to see added sugars and the amount of saturated fat and accurate serving sizes and agree with the change towards the new label.
I think that is open to you. udocs@gmail.com. udocs@gmail.com. Coming up right after the break, we'll continue with more of the top medical stories of the week. You know, there's no such thing as healthy obesity. Dr. Mike will tell us why. And an experiment is growing new muscle in men's injured legs, which has all sorts of promise in it. So we'll talk about that, too. Coming up after the break here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And a show brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. UDocs at gmail.com, YOUDOCS at gmail.com is the email address. And again, at 35 after the hour, in this hour, Dr. Ronan Kelly leads the medical oncology heads medical oncology for esophageal cancer at Johns Hopkins Medicine. And we'll talk about esophageal cancer, which is more common than you might think. That'll be at 35 minutes after the hour. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Dr. Mike, there's no such thing as healthy obesity. I've heard that before, but no truth to that at all?
Well, you know, the data are pretty clear that if you're fit and fat, you are not as healthy as being fit and of normal, meaning weight less than a BMI of 27, which is about 160 pounds if you're 5'4 and a woman, or less. So the data in this study, if you will, confirmed that the people who were fat but did not have current diseases developed those diseases over a 9-year period to a much greater degree than those who were thin or of normal weight and didn't have the diseases. So this was a follow-up of 9 years of 166,000 people in the Tufts database, if you will.
You know, it's tough for some people to have to be on medications for blood pressure or cholesterol, and, you know, they work hard at it, they eat right, and they may see somebody who's overweight, maybe a lot overweight, maybe obese, and they say, I have normal blood pressure, normal cholesterol, and, you know, I don't take any medication, and I can eat anything I want. It's frustrating for people like that who you work at it and have to take medicine. You have some people that are obese and overweight and don't seem to have any vitals that are in any danger. How do you explain that?
Well, that's what this study sought to look at, and it said that over a 9-year period, they will develop problems. So what they were saying is there are some people like that, but they have a much greater likelihood than people who are thin and have normal values of developing problems. And that obviously there are some genetic differences that predispose you. Some people get hit with a bad genetics test or genetics heritage, but they also, if they eat bad and have the bad genetics as opposed to eating healthfully, they will be at much greater risk. So they have to do healthier things. On the other hand, people who are just obese, you know, if you look at it, Joe, and you say, what's going to kill this society? What's going to kill America in the long run? What's going to disable us from being able to spend on education, from being able to have social programs we care about, from being able to defend ourselves? It is obesity. And you probably know the data. Only 27% of the kids who applied over the 3-year period, 2007 to 2010, to get in the Army could fit the quality standards of not being obese. And they were pretty lenient because they figured they can get you to be thinner. So it was only 27% of our kids. We have a real problem with obesity, both as a direct problem, not being fit enough to be able to do exercise or to do carry a gun, whatever distance you have to carry it in the service. But the other thing was, it is such a big tax on us medically that it is robbing us of being able to spend money. So tobacco has been the biggest cause of medical problems and medical costs and disability. It is obesity that has now overtaken tobacco this year and is going to be a bigger medical cost. It's not a bigger disability cost yet, but if we keep going the way we will, I think in 3 years is the prediction, it will be a bigger cost. So we've got some things that we got to work on.
Well, it's going to have to start to hit people financially, right, before they start to, you know, I'm not sure the message is getting through as effectively as it should. If it starts to hit people financially, hits them in the wallet, you know, hits them in the pocketbook, then maybe people will start to make some better choices.
Yeah, you know, that brings up another one of the top stories this week, which is the Southeast has a lot more preventable diseases. Southeast, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee are collectively home to the highest number of preventable deaths. and the highest medical costs are going to go there. And when you look at, would you put a corporation in South Carolina? The answer is absolutely not, because my medical costs in 5 years, not yet, but my medical costs in 5 years are going to be so much greater that I wouldn't locate a company there. And so, in fact, this is going to get known, and we will see changes, and the companies will have to obviously change how they pay people, because their medical costs are going to be so much greater if they're located there than, for example, if they were located in California or Colorado, or if you will, even where? Or even Utah. Bridget was saying a state to me, and I could not hear it from Montana. So she likes Montana as a healthy state.
Youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs at gmail.com. Before we go on to the break and the guests, let's stay in the diet, obesity, weight loss, nutrition category here, and the topic is statins, and the headline is statins may lead some people to pig out. I'm on a blood pressure pill. I'm on a cholesterol pill. I can eat another one of these logical, illogical statements that if I'm on medicine, I can pretty much eat anything I want. But again, that's not the case, right?
Right. So calorie and fat intake increased greatly in the last decade among people who were already on statins. You'd say, you're on a statin, man. That tells you you should be eating healthy. But no, exactly what you said. The people on statins say, well, I'm protected. I'm on the statin, so I can eat anything I want. Wrong. So the goal of statin treatment should not be able to help patients achieve benefits unobtainable by other methods. It's not to empower them to put butter on their steak. God forbid that they have either steak or the butter. The statins may help you keep your LDL cholesterol low, may help you decrease inflammation, but diet will overwhelm those benefits. So being optimally medical therapy. So we had two studies in the last year that I think we talked about having optimal medical therapy, even if you're on a bad diet, is not as good as being on a good diet. So diet, that is, in this large Spanish study and another nurses study, two large studies where people who are on healthy diets, whether Mediterranean or another healthy diet, even if they were on statins, the healthy diet added benefit. And in fact, in the Spanish study, 30% decrease in mortality and morbidity, that serious complications, if they were on a healthy diet, even if they were on a statin and had normal cholesterol values. So there's a real benefit to being on a healthy diet.
And the goal, I think, I mean, statins, they say it's good to take a statin for different things, but I think the goal is you'd want to be able to get off pills, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you want to do that eventually and eat right, do the right things, exercise? You would want to get off pills.
I think if you ask docs who come here and see patients, the majority of patients say they want to get off pills.
Yeah.
And they don't want to go on them. So this is something that's real, Joe.
All right. Youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Coming up after the break, it's our guest expert segment. Our topic is esophageal cancer. Dr. Ronan Kelly heads up the medical oncology for esophageal cancer at St. John's Medicine Unit. He's coming up next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royzen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Ronan Kelly heads medical oncology for esophageal cancer at Johns Hopkins Medicine. He's a thoracic oncologist and is leading research efforts in esophageal, gastroesophageal, and gastric cancer. He's our guest in this segment on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, as we discuss esophageal cancer. Dr. Kelly, I guess when we talk about cancers in the pecking order of cancers, those being lung cancers and skin cancers and breast cancer and blood disorders, when we hear esophageal cancer in the pecking order of these cancers, it's probably not getting there, but it's gaining ground, isn't it?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me on your station. Absolutely. Esophageal cancer is certainly not as common as lung cancer, which I also treat, but we are seeing a dramatic increase in the cases of esophageal cancer. It's actually regarded as the fastest increasing by incidence solid tumor in the U.S. So it's definitely on the increase, although, as you mentioned, the incident rates are still low, with about 17,000 to 18,000 new cases a year. It's certainly not as high as lung or breast cancer, but We are definitely seeing an increase in incidence.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Royzen. Take it from here.
Is the increase, Dr. Kelly, and we should say that the website that has a lot of information on esophageal cancer is the Esophageal Cancer Action Network, or ECAN, www.ecan.org. It's a .org. Is the reason for the increase, Dr. Kelly, that we're obese and getting more gastroesophageal reflux disease, or and
right.
that's GERD or causing heartburn? Is that thought to be the reason for the increase?
Exactly. That's thought to be the reason for the increase. What we've seen is a change in the histology or the nature of esophageal cancer. In decades, 60s, 70s, 80s, the other type of esophageal cancer was called squamous cell carcinoma. We've seen that has decreased. And what we've seen is a dramatic increase in the other type of esophageal cancer called adenocarcinoma. Now, this is occurring mostly at the lower end of the esophagus. If your listeners are imagining a plumbing system with our mouth being the start and then the esophagus is where the food goes down before it goes into the stomach, just at the junction where the esophagus and the stomach are joining, we call that the gastroesophageal junction. And that's where we're seeing the vast majority of our tumors in the U.S. And they're, the, as I said, the one that's increasing, the adenocarcinoma type. Now, the reason we think we're seeing the increase there is, as you mentioned, this increase in people having what's known as heartburn, or the other medical term is gastroesophageal reflux. And there's so many millions of us out there that are taking Tums or taking some antacids to relieve heartburn, but we probably aren't thinking the fact that this is not a normal symptom. None of us are meant to have heartburn. But we do know that there is a link between heartburn, or, as I said, GERD, and esophageal cancer. And we think maybe that link is something called Barrett's esophagus, which, to describe that to your listeners, is not a cancer in itself. It's just that there's a change in the cells that line the esophagus, just where the cells that line the lower part of the esophagus are slightly different from the cells that line the stomach. But when the acid is coming up, is washing back upwards towards the stomach, it's causing a change in the lining of the lower part of the esophagus. And those cells start to resemble more like stomach cells. And it's that change, when they change from esophageal to stomach cells, we think that that's the change. And some patients, unfortunately, can develop cancer as a result of that.
Now, by the way, people can email us questions for you at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. And we've got a couple already. One from Morgan, who said, why is squamous cell cancer decreasing? And you've often said on the show that 2 baby aspirin a day decrease a number of cancers, including esophageal cancer. Is that true, or does it just decrease squamous cell and not the new cancer that's increasing?
Well, to answer your first question, we have seen a decrease in squamous cell carcinoma, and we think that mirrors the decreasing cigarette consumption use. So when we see, we've seen a mirror image where cigarette consumption has decreased, we see that the incidence of esophageal squamous cell carcinoma. So the main risk factors for the squamous cell would be alcohol and cigarettes. But we don't really see that link with the other type, which is increasing, which is adenocarcinoma. We think it's caused by a lot of other factors, as we mentioned, reflux, but also sometimes if patients are slightly overweight or diet, that can be the cause for the adenocarcinoma type. With regards
and
to...
I was going to
answer your question about aspirin. We're doing significant research on that right now. So whenever we can take something to prevent cancer from happening, that's what's called chemo-preventative strategy. Can we prevent, cancers from happening? And so some common medicines like aspirin or like anti-inflammatories, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, are being investigated. The difficulty with that is that it takes quite a long time for that study to be completed. And so even though we have quite a number of trials that have been done that show that they can be prevent cancers from happening, we're waiting on some of the more bigger ones that are probably going to come out in the next couple of years. But I think there is some data showing that aspirin can certainly help.
And there's another question here, and it relates to the first one, and this one someone named Moses sent in. and I don't know, I assume that's a him, from Chicago, and he says, aspirin seems to be an acid. How come an acid will decrease this if gastric acid increases it?
Yeah, well, you know, the mechanisms, it's more at a molecular level in terms of how these drugs are working. But these COX-2 inhibitors, just their ability to turn off certain enzymes and so on, we think that's the ability by how some of these drugs can work.
Now, esophageal cancer is a bad cancer, isn't it? I mean, it has a high mortality rate. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, that is correct. Part of the reason is that there's been, as you mentioned at the start, you know, it's not as common as lung or breast or colon cancer. So there hasn't been as much research in this disease as, say, other common tumors. Now, we are certainly trying our very best to do as much research as we can, and I think we're beginning to make significant inroads into this. But as you mentioned, patients can present with, really, when they present with esophageal cancer, we divide them up into four different stages. Stage one.
Before we get into those stages, Dr. Kelly, tell us what are the symptoms that people have with esophageal cancer that take them to physicians?
So the most common symptom that I see is people are, they have difficulty swallowing. So usually it can come on quite suddenly, or it can come on gradually. But the common history is someone says, you know, I'm just not able to swallow steak or chicken or bread. And it feels like I have this sensation of something getting stuck in, and they point to the middle of their chest. Now, because that can interfere with people's ability to get enough calories in, we then see patients can also present with weight loss, so unexpected weight loss, difficulty swallowing. Now, the difficulty swallowing can be for not just for solid foods, but it can also be for liquids, and that would indicate that the stricture or the narrowing in the esophagus is even more severe. If someone is not able to swallow a glass of water, that would indicate the stricture.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the stages and other things in addition to difficulty swallowing that bring people to physicians. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, thank you. I'm here. Dr. Ronan Kelly is our guest this afternoon today, and we're discussing esophageal cancer. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank,
I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. Very proud
of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Odin Kelly is a thoracic oncologist. He's leading research efforts in esophageal, gastroesophageal, and gastric cancer. Esophageal cancer is our topic today on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And again, back to Dr. Michael Royson.
And the subject where we were was, what are the stages of esophageal cancer? How do they present differently? And how do the treatments differ based on these stages? And we've been talking and are going to talk with Dr. Ronan Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, who's chief of thoracic oncology at Johns Hopkins, and also told us that one of the greatest places to go for information on this is the ECAN network, Esophageal Cancer Action Network, but it's abbreviated ECAN.org. So go to the website, www.ECAN.org, for much more information. So Dr. Kelly, tell us about the different stages and different treatments based on those stages.
Well, so let me tell your listeners what we would do if someone comes in with the symptoms that we've described previously. So when we talk about staging the tumor, what we're trying to figure out is, how far advanced has the tumor spread? Now, the normal way, the normal investigations that we would do, the first one, as we've already spoken about, is someone should go for an endoscopy if they're having symptoms like the difficulty swallowing or the unexpected weight loss or this chronic cough that won't go away. They should talk to their doctor if they have some of these symptoms, and their doctor would recommend getting an upper endoscopy. And if on the endoscopy there was a stricture or a narrowing or a tumor visible, the doctor, the endoscopist, would biopsy that and then would tell us whether or not they have cancer. Now, if they have cancer, that's normally when they are sent to my clinic. And the normal test that we do a CAT scan to see if the tumor spread anywhere else. We also do a PET scan, which also helps us to see if the tumor has spread beyond the chest. But probably the most significant one is something called an endoscopy.
So those tests take those tests don't take very long to do, so you can do those in a couple of days, and then you go on to ultrasound. Is that what you said?
Right, an endoscopic ultrasound, which again is like an endoscopy, so it's tubed in the esophagus, but there's an ultrasound probe at the end, and so it's able to tell the doctor how far into the wall or the muscle of the esophagus has the tumor in, has the tumor spread into. And so that's called the T stage. Everything that we do in cancer, we divide it up into three stages. The T, which stands for the tumor size, N, which stands for how many lymph nodes, N for nodes, and M, has it metastasized or spread anywhere. So with all those tests, we're able to then tell the, you know, we're able to then decide whether this is stage one, stage two, stage three, or stage four. And the treatments then change depending on what the stage of the tumor is.
So now, we have a note from one of the producers that says, clarify that, would you? And what she means by that, I assume, is T tells you the tumor size, and what's the difference between a T1 and a T2 and a T3 or whatever the number is?
Oh, sure.
And then so you really said the second part of staging
is the lymph
node. Go ahead, sorry.
So again, what I normally tell my patients is to imagine the esophagus as a pipe, and what we're trying to decide is how far into the wall or that thickness of the pipe is the tumor invading. And so there's a few different layers in that, in the muscle of the esophagus. The first one is called the mucosa, then there's another one called the submucosa, and then the third one called the muscularis propria. So the ultrasound is able to tell us how far into the wall the tumor is going. So if it's into the very superficial layer, we call that T1 or tumor size 1. If it's gone into the middle layer, we call that T2 or T3. And then if it's spreading just actually through the whole wall of the esophagus, we call that T4 or tumor size 4. And then what we're trying to, you asked about the lymph nodes. So we look to see how many lymph nodes look suspicious. And so we count them. And if there's 1 to 2 lymph nodes that look suspicious, we call that N1 disease or lymph node 1 disease. If there's 3 to 6 suspicious lymph nodes, we call that N2. And if there's more than 7, we call that N3. And so by doing that, we're then able to give a final stage. So whether something is T1, T2, T3, or T4, we then look at the lymph nodes. Is it N1, N2, or N3? And the final part is, has the tumor spread anywhere else? Has it metastasized? And if it has, then it's metastatic disease. If it hasn't, then it's going to be, you know, either stage 1, stage 2, or stage 3 based on what we found from those tests.
And that depends on, so if it hasn't spread very far, it is, I assume, surgically resectable. That is, you can take it out with surgery. And if it's spread far, that's when you use radiation or chemotherapy.
That's exactly why we're trying to do the staging, to decide if someone is surgically operable or not. And so the patients that are operable are the stage 1s, 2s, and 3s. Stage 4, we generally don't consider surgery the right thing to do, because if the tumor is spread into the liver or the bones, then, you know, doing a big operation like an esophagectomy would not really be the right thing to do in that instance. And so I can just tell you a little bit about why we want to stage it, because stage 1, we really just send patients straight to surgery. We don't think they need any chemo. We don't think they need any radiation. If someone is stage 2 or stage 3, and that would depend on how many lymph nodes and how far into the wall the tumor is spread, we, in the United States, and now the Europeans have also started doing it, we do what's called trimodality treatment, which basically involves chemo and radiation together up front for about 5 weeks of treatment, followed by surgery. And then we just assess what the surgeon has seen to see if any additional treatment is needed. But that's what trimodality means, where we're using the three different specialties of chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery.
And before we go and say thank you and go to our tip of the week, Donna asked a question quickly. Is Michael Douglas, is this the cancer that Michael Douglas had?
I don't think so. I'm not sure what he had, but I think he has throat cancer, so it'll be slightly different. Before we go, can I just again mention that April was Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month. ECAN is the largest nonprofit organization in the U.S. They're relatively new. They've been set up in Baltimore by a lady called Mindy Mordecai, and they are really doing fantastic work. They have great information on their website, www.ecan, which stands for Esophageal Cancer actionnetwork.org, and all the information that I've spoken about will be there.
Great. And that's Dr. Ronan Kelly of Johns Hopkins. Thank you very much, Dr. Kelly. And we'll go quickly to a tip of the week. And the real age tip this week is almost anyone who takes medication for high blood pressure, or as a spouse, parent, or pal who does, will likely recognize this reaction. Do I really need to take this pill for a freaking ever? And the answer is yes. We're here to say there's new news that you should. For drugs that bring down your blood pressure, it doesn't just put off heart trouble or stroke. Every month you take them, they add about 2 days to your life and less disability. Take them for 20 or 30 years, you're talking lots more days. In fact, the real age benefit for treating someone with a blood pressure of 140 over 85 and just getting it to 120 over 75 is about 8 years younger. And that's the real age tip of the week. Joe?
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.